He has his own podcast. What is it, y'all? Get my shit together.
Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Friday, December 22nd, 2023. I hope your week is at its conclusion. I hope you are listening to this for the second time this week. That's what matters to me. Your well-being and your support of this show. It comes out every Tuesday, every Friday. Every Tuesday, every Friday. Consistent as the sun rising, as the rich getting over on the poor, as the government of the United States not caring about its people. This podcast comes out at noon Eastern on Tuesday and Friday. Thank you for joining the podcast. And thanks for getting involved with my, for the last 2 days. Well, actually, let me back up. Thank you for everyone who's heeded the call and has been interacting with the reels on Instagram, because it's working. It's working. Lo and behold, it's working. Your comments, your interactions, your support are compelling further viewing of the reels. They're getting me followers, and they are going to accelerate me headlining comedy clubs. I'm confident of it. You know why? Because I live in San Diego, and I can only do what I can do in the city, and my ambitions, my appetites, tell me, Captain, was it something bigger? I gotta get out of here comedically. I mean, get through here. I'm too fired up right now. Thank you for liking, following, and all of that, checking out the podcast. What I've done the last couple days on Instagram, you may or may not have seen, is post just like little brief 30-second, 1-minute clips of me talking about something with a bit of a perspective on it, and then I throw it out and let everyone argue about it, which the algorithm seems to like. The first one I did was about, it ended up being about body image, but it was Wednesday. I posted just I know what it was. My daughter came into our room on Wednesday morning and started talking so quickly. And my wife immediately met her pace. It was very adaptive, mother and daughter, watching them do their thing. They were talking so fast and so effortlessly, it seemed. They were just like, boom, 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 that I couldn't, you know, I don't quite have that skill to go as fast and find my way into that double dutch of that verbal double dutch, that I kind of just sat there and watched and then tried to count if there ever were a second in between words they were saying. And this is not at all these broads run their mouths, though I do account for the least amount of talking in my home. That there's no question. This is not a lament. It was more wonder, if you will, watching them talk. And I said to myself, self, can I find in their conversation 1 second of air? Is there an opportunity to pause? Is there a space that occupies only 1 second? And so that would be like, I'm talking like this, and then I keep talking. So for them, and observing and listening to the conversation, it would be them talking and then me saying 1/1000. And in trying to find way into that conversation or identify a pause of 1 full second, I never got past counting one. It never got past, like, I'm not even sure I formed the whole one. I never, because they love each other, okay? And it's adaptive that they communicate like hummingbirds. I am here to put meat on the table and a glass of mead. So I was up earlier than I wanted to because they started hot and nobody went back to sleep. That was the point of the little video I made. And so I said, I apologize for the way I look. My hair is a mess. I'm underslept because of this thing. And then that just led me to say on this video, this reel on Instagram, so if you want to comment on my appearance, go for it in the comments. You can say any negative thing you want, but I hope when you do that, you are totally secure with your own body and you like the way you look when you have your clothes off and you don't have any physical insecurities. I wish that for you because I'm confident that people who are shitting on other people's appearances, which it didn't really ensue. People were very positive about my appearance and said, damn, you really are a good looking guy and people should put you in their commercials that take a very short amount of time to film but pay big residuals in the long run, like the one I did for Ibotta, I-B-O-T-T-A. Is it still a company? I don't know, but man, was that fun. Everyone was polite on the comments about my appearance. And it led me into, you're only leaving negative reviews about the way someone, negative reviews. Here's a review of the way you look. Let me begin with your height and your width. And then we'll move on to some other aspects of your appearance that warrant a closer probe by an expert in the field. People who leave mean, hateful remarks about other people's appearances clearly are not happy with their own appearances. But still, it's a lot for the person to have to take. In any case, I was wishing the haters of my appearance well and some positivity that they feel good about their own bodies. And then I said, if they do, at the very end, if you do, go take another look because you can always find something to be insecure about, which I thought was without trying to explain it too much. That's the point of the insecurity. If you fucking dwell on it long enough, you'll find something to not like. What's the point? Everyone has insecurities. Andiamo, ragazzi. Let's go. Let's move forward. I put that out there, and people responded to it about body issue and staying positive and whatever else, and had more than, last time I looked, more than like, you know, 1,000 or 1,500 views, something like that. I'll take it. And I got a couple new followers out of it, so I was like, all right, let's try this thing. People talked about it in the comments. Then, dear beloved listeners of this podcast, and by the way, if you would like some exciting, I am embarrassed to say I listen to the Getting My Act Together podcast coasters, send me your address and I will put them in the mail straight away before this impending thing in my throat forms and I have to pause and cough like so. But send me your address and I will put the coasters in the mail too. I'll send you 3 coasters for every message you send me on Instagram, for every email you send to Yes Joe Smith saying, hey, send me some of those damn coasters. I will do it. So yesterday, Thursday, I said to myself, hey, that kind of was productive, I thought, from a audience building framework, audience building perspective. Why don't I do it again? And so what I did is I make a list of little things that might, petty, not groundbreaking, race relation kind of global geopolitical. It's just little minor irritations. Like, for I have a list, and my list is my own. My reasons are my own. That alone I will have to answer for. So I just did a thing yesterday about when people don't hold the when you hold the door for someone and they don't thank you. And I was going to start it with anyway. And apparently it's a sore subject because people really got involved in the comments. And again, more engagement, more. And it's not totally contrived. I mean, it's a real thing. People have a perspective on standing in the doorway. That's going to be another one. People who stand in doorways, it fucking drives me bananas. Also, people in California, there are carpool lanes. If we're going to be in the carpool lanes, why don't you go as fast as you can? That's the advantage of being in the carpool lane and avoiding traffic on the 4 right lanes that you're not in. You have another person in your car. You at no time should be going slower than the people who are not in the privileged carpool lane. If you're in the carpool lane, dude, fucking step on it. It's not just for you to be over there on the way to the picnic. So these little minor irritations, people at work, they can look at their phone, they can have a little debate, they can get in the comments, they can say, hey, this knucklehead seems to make some good sense. Maybe I'll check him out. Maybe I'll go pay $20 to hear him tell some some jokes, you know, late at night in a dark room. That's the idea. So yesterday, I put up a little, I'm calling them one hitters. Talking to Katie Hughes about them. I'm calling them my one hitters. My one hitter is, yesterday was, you hold the door for someone and they don't thank you. And it's important when that happens to remember that there could be the other circumstances that compel them or cause them to not thank you. Right? And the clip is a consideration of that. And I put it up. And boy, do people feel strongly about that on a variety of different ways. And, you know, they're in the comments, they're following, they're having arguments, which is the dream. I feel like the Koch brothers. I just create something, get people to argue about it, and then I profit. You disagree. You know, it's like being a politician. You split everybody up, you have them argue, and you just sit and profit. It's kind of fun. Any case, people are talking about, do you hold the door, do you not hold, or what happens when you hold the door and they don't say thank you. Chad Daniels has a great bit on it in his special called Dad Chaniels. But let me just give you a flavor, and this is how it's happening. Give you a flavor of the kind of comments people leave. This person was very spirited. This is from a commenter. So it's a commenter. If you comment like a real person and not just some maniac who's like, fucking gay, bro, I'll treat you like a real person. If you respond like a maniac, I'm going to treat you like a maniac and either ignore you, roast you, or worse, become you. This person who rides the line of normal person and maniac. A person, by the way, this is an interesting world. Someone I don't know. I've never met. And I put a video, a reel on Instagram, and they just chime in like, hey man, I got some advice for you. It's just, okay, go for it. This person posts under the name The Faux Museum and said, so you hold the door so that someone will thank you? You need that? Hold the door because you want to help and expect nothing. Hey man, I haven't responded to your comment yet, but nowhere in my one hitter did I say that I hold the door so people will thank me. Okay, you might be projecting a little bit in that. Do I need that? I don't know what you're talking about. Do I need what? You know what I need to do, sir? I need to, and I say sir because you know what I mean. I say, sir, you know what I need? I need to behave in accordance with my own values. Someone thanking me or not thanking me is not going to stop me from holding the goddamn door. It might momentarily cause me to think that person was raised by wolves or is so self-consumed with their own bullshit that they can't spare a nanosecond to be aware of someone else in the world who has done them a great minor courtesy by holding the door for them and understanding, hey, maybe we are a bit of humans grouped together in a common endeavor. And we're not just the underlings of Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been nice. But no, sir, I do not in any case do it for, what did you say here? I lost it. You will hold the door so that someone will thank you? No. I hold the door so that, you know what, sir, I only do it for women. And in the hopes that they will show me their boobs. So you hold the door so that someone will thank you. You need that. Hold the door because you want to help and expect nothing. So this is just wild, this world we live in. He goes from, this is somebody I've never met, but it's how social media dehumanizes us. Or, you know, at least impersonalizes us. Depersonalizes us? What am I trying to say? Yeah, depersonalizes us. This is someone who's never met me. Who immediately is, I know it's fucking, hello lady, what's happening? The babies are already going to their nap? Mm-hmm. Yes, Papa. Who's napping? Okay, my daughter came in to tell me that she was putting the babies down for their nap. And then I use the opportunity to get another coffee. So let's go. Let's go, Chi-Town, save me. Let's go. it's just fascinating. I know, like I said, comments have been happening for a long time, but let's just start there. This person who's never met me chimes in and asks me about my motives. Sir, my behavior was never at issue here, okay? You hold the door to someone, thank you, you need that. Hold the door because you want to help and expect nothing. Yeah, you're fucking right. That's exactly why I do it. We're on the same team, man. So don't start from a assume positive intent. Don't read subtext into what I said. I didn't say that I never would hold the door for someone if they didn't say thank you. And I didn't even say that if I would know in advance they wouldn't say thank you, that I would yank the door behind me so they smash their face into the door without trying to walk into it. My behavior, my values are not dependent on what someone else does, sir. And I hope that you are living in accordance with your own values and are not, I hope you're as good as I am. Did they, and he goes on, did they ask you to hold the door? Now you're condescending. I'm treating you still like a normal person, not a maniac who's like trying to troll. Did they ask you to hold the door? What the fuck do you think, man? What do you think? Yeah, it was O.J. Simpson in a Hertz commercial from 1976, and they were running through the airport, and they said, hold that door. That's what happened, and I did, and then they didn't say thank you. What you're getting at here is if they ask me to hold the door, then they should thank me for it. But if they didn't ask me, you know, I'd love to meet that person. I'd love to meet the person who walks through a door someone held for them and then looks at them and goes, hey, man, I didn't ask you to do that. Dude, you're setting up wonderful occasions for people to further not get along. It's a hypothetical, my friend, but it clearly resonated with people, including you. So thank you for chiming in. Let's get to the bottom of it, man. We're on the same team here. Because I'm just like you. I hold the door because I want to help and expect nothing. Did they ask you to hold the door? Could they have made it through without your door holding? Boy, oh boy, I like to think that I am pretty important and responsible for the well-being of a lot of other people. That just sounded sarcastic, but could they have made it through without my door holding? Whew. Yes, I think they could have. I'm not the only person in the world who can open doors, so I think they could have gotten through. I don't know what that has to do with my holding the door for them. So, right, you sound to me, this is just off the top of my head here, you sound a bit like a Democrat who masks, a libertarian, I should say, who kind of masquerades as a Democrat. I don't know who you voted for. Then it doesn't matter because I hope you're American. I don't know. There's something interesting going on with you want me to. What is interesting about this? Could they have made it through without your door? There's a lot of self-reliance in this, is what I'm saying. But then he comes with, chill out, exclamation mark. All right, now it's become personal. Sir, what happened to you in door holding? Because you just said chill out with an exclamation mark. That's like telling someone to relax. It doesn't work. Also, if you put an exclamation mark after the phrase chill out, it automatically points that statement back at you. You know what I mean? Maybe you're just, you know what I'm going to do, just like I do for the person who doesn't say thank you? I'm going to presume you have a lot on your mind. You're having your best day in the world, and you're just venting just a little bit at someone you've never met and saw a 45-second video of on the internet. That's on the socials. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to presume that from you. But just know that you yelled, chill out to me. Okay? Either hold the door for someone or not. Don't do it because you want/need praise. Don't worry. I won't. I don't. any case, dear listeners of the podcast, if I can pull us up out of the commentariat, you will see what these videos do, these reels do. It's just something innocuous as like someone thanking you or not thanking you for holding the door. Excuse me. What is the deal here? They inspire impassioned responses. And I thank you for yours. I thank you for your impassioned response, Mr. Faux Museum. Because it tells me you care. And it tells me you have values. And it tells me, dare I say, with your antenna for me to have all this subtext in the message that I was talking about, when really it was just a video for 45 seconds and you might be projecting a little bit in. What it tells me, sir, is you have a sense of value. You have a code. You have some values. And you, I don't want to overreach here, dare I say, sense that the world and a lot of people, or at least a lot of people in the world, are not aligned with those values as they should be. And that frustrates you. That's what I sense from this comment. Again, I'm treating you like a rational, normal person who just came in a little hot on that, questioning me, yelling at me to chill out, prescriptively telling me what to do. Sir, dare I say, you're a touch of a hypocrite, because I don't think you would want someone talking to you the way you spoke to me in the comment. Would you? In real life, would you want someone to say, chill out, bro? Exclamation mark. Either do it or don't. Here she comes. Hello, what's happening? I need to finish this now. Now! I just need to finish it because I have to get it up by 9 o'clock Pacific. Where are you going?
I'm making a book for Grandma.
Oh, very sweet. All right, she's making a book for Grandma. Grandma, take me home. Grandma's coming down for a few days. Looking forward to that. In any case, Mr. Faux Museum, thank you for getting in touch. And listeners of the podcast, I pulled you up out of the commentary. That's how it's happening. I'm posting these things. Food for thought. What does it mean when someone doesn't thank you when you hold the door? And what does it say about you, how you react? Chad Daniels has a great bit that I mentioned at the top. He has a great bit about it in his special Dad Chaniels, which is phenomenal. He's one of the best comics working, best comics alive. You've heard me say that. I've worked with him. He destroys from the moment he steps on stage until the end. He says real shit. He's unafraid. It's a thing to watch. So check out Dad Chaniels, which came out a few years ago. That's what I'm going to do, listeners. I'm going to keep posting these things. So impassioned people in a world they feel is untethered from their own values. They have a place to debate these things. And who better than me than to coordinate that discussion? The idea is to get it so big that the conversations cannot possibly be commented on or moderated by me. So that's what I did over the last couple days, and it seems to be having an impact on my socials. I also am posting, as you see now, clips. Anyway, I hope you're well. And I didn't mean to talk all about my newest two-day-long endeavor. I wanted to tell you something a little more substantive because it's like a real thing that happened to me this week, and I did. Everybody's okay, nothing was harmed, and the stakes of this in the real world are relatively low, but I hurt someone's feelings, and I don't like that. I hurt someone's feelings. And unintentionally, but it happened, nonetheless. And maybe because one of my values, Mr. Faux Museum, is trying to be as aware of other people as I can, or I pride myself on being aware of other people. It bummed me out when I hurt this person's feelings. Like, man, I'm not supposed to be that guy. I'm supposed to be better than that guy. What happened was I got my hair cut someday this week. Maybe it was Wednesday. Maybe it was Tuesday. It doesn't matter. I got my hair cut on Wednesday by the same woman who has cut it since I've been in California, been in San Diego. It's maybe the fourth time she's cut my hair. Every single time she's cut my hair, she has talked about her boyfriend. Someone made this point to me. It's very keen. Hairstylists say, and I'm not talking about the person who cuts my hair, but just generally, hairstylists say that they're like the bartender, psychologist, priest, and everyone just talks and tells them all their problems. But I have found it as common that the fucking hairstylist does all the talking, telling you about what's going on in their lives, and you end up being the bartender, psychologist, priest, listening to their problems. Chime, you know what? That's going to be something I'll post and let you argue about. Stylists, go. And then just have them comment, and, you know, then you can come see me do a show, and we'll talk about, you know, ombre. Isn't that the color, the highlights at the bottom of your hair, ladies? So this woman, she's cut my hair, let's say, 3 or 4 times. Each time she's talked about, and I have a nice rapport with her. She doesn't over-talk, which is part of why I go back to her. I like the way she cuts my hair. It's very positive transactional relationship. She doesn't talk too much. I don't talk too much. We sit there. She cuts my hair. I like the way it looks. I get out the door. But each time she's talked about her boyfriend, and that's that. Each time she talks about her boyfriend. And so on Tuesday, let's say Wednesday, I was getting my hair cut. She was talking about her boyfriend and stuff with the holiday plans, etc. And I meant to say lightheartedly, you know, hearing her talk about her boyfriend, I can't quite decide if you two are going to make it. Which I admit is a little, what's the word? Intimate, not intimate. It's a little, I'm getting further upstream in my relationship with her than is needed. Like, or than is polite, not needed, polite. You know, if it were a good friend of mine talking about their relationship, I might say, man, I don't know. I'm not sure this sounds like it's meant for the long haul. But I don't have that relationship with her, so it was a little familiar, I guess, for me to do that. It's and in retrospect, perhaps a touch impolite. I did, just to further contextualize, I did say it kind of lighthearted, like, I can't tell if you two are going to make it or not. I tried to make it a little lighthearted because I wasn't like, well, tell me about, you know, how he makes you feel. And I wasn't like that. But we have talked about relationships. And, you know, I've been in one for a long time and it's been successful for me. So I have a touch of perspective and I don't know. And every time we've been in there, I've been in there, she's talked about her boyfriend, so I feel like I have some license to express a thought on that. But the, you know, the safest play would be to say, oh, sounds like fun. I remember when my taking a road trip with my girlfriend, and then just stay in there. But she gives me enough information where I said what I said. And she said, immediately said, why do you say that? And then I was like, well, I don't know, because what I'm telling you, podcast listener, I've gotten my hair cut from you like 4 or 5 times, and this is just what came to mind. Like, I've heard a fair amount, and this is where I really, what I probably meant was, I can't figure out if like this is a great relationship or not. But instead, I said, like, are you going to, I don't know if you're going to make it or not. So I just kind of said, well, you know, you've told me, we've talked, whatever it is, and it's just kind of what came out. And I didn't think much of it at the time. Like, it wasn't, she was like, how dare you? It wasn't like that. It was at that time the kind of informal exchange that I thought and hoped it was, and didn't, you know, have it be a big emotional moment. It wasn't that. But like 10 minutes later, when she was using the scissors to cut my eyebrows, that's how bushy I am. I don't know if you've men ever experienced that. I think women actually get their, I've gotten my eyebrows done, you know that. But this, I haven't in a long time. This is where she sticks the comb and sort of pulls out the long eyebrow hairs, trims them, moves on. In any case, while she's doing this to my right eyebrow, she cuts me with the scissors. Like, fuck, like I jumped. I didn't say anything. That's, having a four-year-old or having a kid has really further instilled in me the suffer in silence. So, like, I'll smash, which is maybe not the best example for her. But, like, the other day my daughter was, I was, like, kind of holding her in front of me. She's facing forward as well, and she, like, shot up like a rocket. She shot up like a strong man hitting the thing at the fair, and the weight goes up and hits the bell. She shot up like that with her head into my chin, and it caused a clunk noise and biting my tongue, and it was just not a good feeling. And I immediately was like silent and just like jogged to the other room to catch my breath and not scream, fuck, Jesus Christ. So I know how to kind of mute, press, tamp down my emotions when necessary. I'm Irish. When necessary. So when she cut my eye, I just kind of like jumped, but she cut my eyebrow. She like cut my skin is what I'm talking about. I had enough control, wherewithal, to gather myself and not say anything other than it's okay, no worries. And she was very apologetic, and then she said, I'm gonna go get some tissue, like as if it were gushing blood. And I don't even think I saw any blood, but it might have been lost in my Colin Farrell like hamsters that are over each of my eyes, which you could be insecure about. That I was insecure about, you know, being hairy probably at one time. Then I saw Pete Sampras, I'm like, what am I worried about? She went and got a tissue and came back and said, here you go. But when she handed me the tissue, the first thing she said is, what made you say that about me and my boyfriend? And my first thought was, you just fucking cut me, and is that why you cut me? And were you so distracted by thinking about that? I thought I would have probably forgotten about saying that if she didn't. Clearly, it had been spinning around in her mind for 10 minutes. And she said, why did you say that? And I said it was just a remark. I'm sorry. So immediately I'm on the phone. I'm sorry if I was too far upstream in your relationship. I didn't, you know, if I overstepped, I kind of just said it. I didn't mean for it to be a big, you know, and then the more I say all this, it's like, you know, I'm just kind of digging myself a hole. But then she said, yeah, it didn't make me feel good. And I've told the story to a couple people, and you're listening like, well, I know why it didn't make her feel good. She, you know, maybe it hit too close to home or wherever the fuck it is. Like, I know, but the point is, I hurt her feelings, and that didn't make me feel good. And, the interesting thing about how did it resolve is we kind of just sat there in silence, and then I tried to lightly make small talk 1.5 times to see if we moved on, but she kind of was like up and like she was like an audience that claps and then is silent. So I didn't really get it. I didn't really get it back on track. And then I just left it. I tried, like I said, 1.5 times to make small talk, and then I just let it go. And we just sat there in silence, or I sat there, and she kind of, and I was thinking, fuck, she could stab me with these things right now. She finished the haircut. We got to the front. She took half off the price because she cut me. I said, that's not necessary. She said, no, I feel bad. And then I said, I feel bad too. Please charge me full price. And I think, you know, it was just one of those things. What it reminded me of, though, is the importance of honoring your emotions. I think that's the way I'm going to say that. Honoring your emotions, because after I made the small talk and it didn't work, and clearly I had upset her. I apologized and made small talk, and we never got back on track. I had to just sort of sit in the bomb. So that's what it reminded me of, is like, fuck, this is a terrible feeling and I can't do anything to change it and I'm not right and it's nobody else's fault. You could say she reacted this or that or blah, blah, blah. All I know is my role, you know, faux museum. I know what I did and I know what I'm responsible for. And something I said caused her to feel, like she said, not very good. And I just had to sit in that for the rest of the haircut and honor the emotion. Okay. Noted. And you know what? I learned from it. Certainly not going on stage, but okay. Maybe I was a touch familiar. Maybe none of my business. All of that, even though you talk about this dude all the time and I feel like I know a little bit about the dynamic, none of my business really, and just shut the fuck up is the safer play with people that you're not friends with. If you single people out there trying to flirt and that sort of thing, shoot your shot somehow. Say something, you know, wild to somebody you don't know. See what happens. I'm not shooting my shot with her. I'm not trying to do anything other than express whatever solidarity in the human endeavor, and I fucked up because I hurt her feelings and I didn't like the way that made me feel. I didn't like the way that made me feel and I sat in that bomb emotion and soaked it in, and now I gotta jump so I can get this thing on. I gotta get it up by in 7 minutes. I can do it. It can be done. Thank you for the support. Have a great weekend and I will talk to you on Tuesday, which might be the day after Christmas. All right, so Merry Christmas to you all, and to all a good goddamn day.